brave new portion of our brave new world when it comes to trucking and autonomy. And the guys that we're going to be talking to here right now have done some research, and they put out a report called The Impact of Automation on Long-Haul Trucking Operator Hours in the United States. And I think I understand, and I'll ask the guys here, I think I understand that they're not talking about, you know, just losing your job. They're talking about how your job is going to change and how are we going to make up for lost hours that maybe some automated trucks are taking over on. And then hours of service regulations even play into the conversation as well. Parth Vaishnav and Anirudh Mohan are going to be joining us here in just a moment to talk about the impact of automation on long-haul trucking operator hours in the United States. Have you seen Rand McNally's newest navigation device? This tablet is truly built for drivers.
Whoa, is that a 10-inch screen? I can see everything so clearly.
Yeah, Rand McNally's TND tablet 1050 has a high-definition 10-inch screen, so it's really easy to see all the details. And it's trucker tough. The screen is made of Gorilla Glass, and the device comes with a removable rubber guard that can help if you happen to drop it.
Yep, sounds pretty rugged. Now, what about the maps?
Well, that's what makes it even better. The TND Tablet 1050 has the latest upgraded RAND navigation with 33% more truck-specific road data than other GPS providers.
33% more? What does that mean?
Well, it means that the TND Tablet 1050 has thousands more low bridges, weight-restricted roads, and miles of truck-prohibited roads. So in a nutshell, the routing is more accurate.
That makes sense.
And there's a camera that can be used for inspection reporting and receipt tracking.
Wait. What are these?
Oh, the tablet comes with three strong mounting hardware options. So no matter where you like to place the device, there's a mount for that.
Man, that sounds great. I'm going to get my own TND Tablet 1050.
Learn more about the new TND Tablet 1050 at randmcnally.com.
Just keep trucking on.
It can happen to anyone. You wake up one morning, you owe the IRS over $5,000. You think about your family, your career, your future, and then your mind and body begin to shut down. You've heard the horror stories about liens and garnishments. You don't know what to do. Well, stop right there, because we know what to do.
We know now's the time to call John Turner at Able Tax Relief. John's been helping truckers with taxes for over 30 years.
Hi, this is John Turner. If you owe the IRS over $5,000 and you qualify, I can significantly lower your tax debt. Get the help you need and deserve. Call me right now.
Able Tax Relief has your solution waiting. So why are you waiting? Schedule your free confidential consultation now.
You've waited long enough. Call 281-464-9443. 281-464-9443.
Or dial pound 250 from your cell phone and say IRS Tax Relief. Pound 250 from your cell phone and say IRS Tax Relief. Well, we're going to go to Michigan now and say good morning to Parth Vaishnav. Parth, good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
It's great to have you with us. And over to Poland, Anirudh Mohan is with us this morning. Good morning. And I think you put your mute on, Anirudh. Are you there?
Morning, Dave. Thank you for having us.
Good morning. He put on his mute because we're having a bit of a problem with some echo, so we're trying to forestall that. So thank you for being with us. Anirudh, though, you are in Poland, so I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, what are you seeing, what are you feeling, what are you hearing from the people there at this point?
Well, I think there's a lot of concern. There are about 2 million Ukrainian refugees in Poland right now. So there's a lot of dealing with that in terms of the administration and getting people to where they need to go. Poland is also very prepared for what might happen. So they're pretty confident.
On this old rock pile with a ball and chain, they call me by a number, not my name. You know, some drivers say, that's how it is at my company. But at Diamond Transportation System, they know you by name. At this family-owned company, you'll be treated like family because you'll be part of the family. And that's what makes the difference. Everything else flows from there. Diamond Transportation. They're small, safe, running RGN and open deck freight, 100% owner-operator, and great insurance rates because of Diamond's safety culture. Lots more to say at DiamondRecruit.com.
This is Ton Ostergaard, Chairman and CEO of Creek Carrier and Schaefer Trucking. Our companies have quality freight, and we need more drivers. But not just any drivers, safe drivers with no DOT preventable accidents or CDL violations in the last year. Experienced drivers who don't switch jobs on a whim, and reliable drivers looking for top pay and benefits from a carrier with long-term strength and stability. Are you the one we're looking for? If so, head to creekcarrier.com to get started.
Well, the old adage, when it rains, it pours, is ringing true here this morning. Guys, I'm so sorry. We've had problems on the Polish end and on the New Orleans end. Hopefully we'll be able to get through the discussion here this morning, because I'm really interested to hear what you have to say. Parth Vaishnav is with us. Andy Rood Mahan is with us. And we're talking about a report that you guys did that is entitled The Effects of Automation on the Long-Haul Trucking Industry, the trucking operator hours in the United States. Parth, are you... And you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, people losing jobs, people changing jobs and that sort of thing, and the job itself changing. But this is the first time you've really looked at the actual, you know, day-to-day effects, I think.
Yeah, that's right. So there's been estimates before which kind of do a top-down analysis, but just kind of count the number of people who are involved in truckload shipping, but this is the first time that we've tried to build a bottom-up estimate where we've looked at individual journeys, we've split them into urban and interstate legs, and recognized that the urban legs probably cannot be automated, and we've also tried to combine this a little bit with the capabilities of the technology. So the technology right now is being tested in the Sun Belt states, in good weather, and so that clearly indicates that right now that is what the technology developers are most comfortable with, and that is where the technology is likely to be first deployed. So even to the extent that automation might displace jobs, it doesn't seem like it might happen all at once. We'd expect the process to be gradual.
I would imagine, Andy Rood, because first off, we have some components that we haven't dealt with yet, and that is the infrastructure required to fuel or to power these trucks. And, of course, you'll have onboard wheel end generators, so the trucks will generate their own power at some point. But those points are way on down the line. The trucks are pretty expensive to begin with. The insurance is going to be a consideration. Lord knows what's going to happen when the accidents start to occur, and they will. And the Army has actually, I think, for two summers, done automated tests with safety drivers in the trucks. But the Army has done testing way up on I-94. But to Parth's point, in the summertime. So, Anirudh, do you think that we're going to be pretty much sunbelting this for quite some time to come?
Yeah, I think so, Dave. I think, as Bart mentioned, the companies that are testing right now are focusing on those areas. Those are the plans for near to medium term deployment in the next 2 to 5 years. And as you were talking about, there's a significant number of infrastructure related questions to be answered around refueling, around maintenance, around things like remote operation and understanding where the truck is, what might be happening. And then there's the onboard powering for the automation and all the sensors and so on. So there are a lot of questions still to be answered, and I think the companies are testing right now in the easy part of the problem, which is, can this drive itself in good weather on the interstate, where regulation also allows it to?
Indeed, indeed. You know, one of the things in terms of the numbers that are coming out of this, Parth, is it's really hard to do mathematics when you don't really know what the numbers are that you're dealing with. And trucking, and I've been hanging around the trucking world for 50 years, and nobody's ever known exactly how many people are in trucking, how many people are behind the wheel, how many trucks are there, how many companies are there. Last year, we put on almost 110,000 new companies. So you've got the big number. You know, there are 3.5 million truck drivers. And then when you break that down, let's just say roughly 500,000 long haul operators, give or take about 100,000 or maybe even 150,000. So it's pretty hard to zero in when you have that big of a landscape.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And that is why the way we've written this is to talk about it in terms of operator hours, and as the proportion of operator hours and not in terms of actual trucking jobs. Because, Dave, I think you hit the nail on the head, because we don't know how many trucking jobs are there that are directly impacted by that. We can say that, you know, truckload long haul routes are more likely to be affected. And so that's what we've analyzed in this. But we can't actually translate that into an actual concrete number.
I want to tell folks too that it's a fascinating study. It's very easy to read. It's a little lengthy. It'll take you a little time to go through it. You'll pick it up and put it down, that sort of thing. But it's very easy to find if you go to www.nature.com. N-A-T-U-R-E, nature.com. And the reason I spell that out is because we've never talked with anybody that's published on nature.com before in terms of trucking. So this is a new world for us, and maybe a breakthrough there too as well. But nature.com, and then there's a search button. Just click on the search button, type in trucking, and you'll find the report right there, The Impact of Automation on Long-Haul Trucking Operator Hours in the United States. You know, Andy Reid, you know, numbers aside and percentages aside, the drivers that you've talked to in this, and you've talked to a lot of people, and I thought maybe we kind of walk through some of the folks that you've talked to about this. You covered all of the bases. Nobody likes this, right? Less than 1% of drivers that you've talked to are in favor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I first of all, want to also thank any of the drivers, if they're listening to this, who took the time out to speak with me. It was really useful to get their insights. I think what we found especially was that partial automation systems, which drivers have now had some experiences with, whether that's lane assist or emergency braking, those were things that were really not sort of popular with drivers. They had really bad experiences with such systems acting up. And one of the things, one of the anecdotal sort of stories that I got from one of the drivers was, well, drivers don't like driving in pairs because they hate having to relinquish control to another driver and trust another driver while they're sleeping or taking a break. And so having automation in the loop and pairing up with the computer is the same thing. They're reluctant to give up control, and especially to systems, partial automation systems, which are really not yet mature and often do make mistakes, whether it's braking suddenly because there's a bridge overhead and the system thinks there's some sort of obstruction on the road. So things like that can be really spooky for drivers.
anybody that might have been a Seinfeld fan, and boy, all of a sudden it seems like Seinfeld is just like ancient history. It's hard to find a young person that really remembers Seinfeld. But one of the things about that was there was kind of a running thing through the series that said basically everything works out in the end. You know, as bad as it looks, it all kind of works out. And Parth, I'm kind of there in a sense, and I'd like to get your take. And Anirudh, I'd ask you the same question. Okay, look. We know that the driving population as it stands now is several years older than the general workforce. We're approaching 50 as a median age for truck drivers. So that's fine and good if people in their 20s were coming in, but they're not. Younger people, and we've kind of gone through this over the last few years, generally speaking, younger people are not that interested in getting a driver's license to drive a car. Like we were when we were in high school. I mean, that was as important as your diploma practically, you know. So what I'm getting at is there are going to be less and less people coming in. And yes, there will be less and less opportunity for, let's say, human-operated trucks in the long haul. But it seems to me that when it's all said and done at the end, it's all going to come out in the wash. And if you want to go long-haul trucking, you'll have a lifetime career at it. There won't be thousands and thousands and thousands of others doing it, but you will. Does that make sense to you at all, how it all kind of will dovetail together?
Yeah, so I think that's right. And it's also it's also the case that this applies to long-haul jobs where the driver doesn't have to make complex decisions, where there isn't a specialized cargo, where there isn't a lot of interaction with customers or shippers. And so those kinds of jobs are not really easy to automate and will continue to have those kind of jobs. And it's also important to note that some of the long-haul truckload jobs are the jobs that feed into those long-term jobs. So you're right. There's always going to be parts of the job and parts of the industry where you are going to need human intervention.
There have been, and you know, I kind of put the cart before the horse here, and I told both of you guys that I was going to kind of start at the beginning and work my way down, and I didn't do that. But one of the things that you look at first in your report are some of the literature, as it's called, some of the other studies that have been made. There's the Steve Vaselli report. There's a Gittleman and Monaco, Groshen, Wasnick, Leonard. I mean, you go down the list of things, and those names don't mean anything to our listeners, of course, but these are folks that work behind the scenes in terms of statistical, machinations, I guess. And there are different answers. So everyone you ask has almost a widely differing answer than the last guy, Anirudh. It seems as if you guys have been able to kind of pull a lot of that together and kind of nail some of this down. It seems as if that was more or less the goal of this exercise. Am I on target there?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And part of the reason why there's so many different answers is just because in the nature of sciences, if you make different assumptions, you'll get different answers. And some of these studies have different baseline assumptions around the number of truckers, which we were just discussing a moment ago, and then also in terms of how the technology might be deployed. I think what we wanted to do in this paper was, first of all, use the shipment data to actually understand where the shipments are going, to understand their spatial density, if you will, across the U.S., and then we wanted to understand how automation might be deployed actually in the near to medium term. So looking at automating the highway leg in the Sun Belt states, those are the more realistic scenarios in the near to medium term. And then we, of course, spoke to truck drivers, spoke to industry stakeholders to get a better sense of what the technology would be needed to do and what it might be capable of doing in the near future.
When I saw the report, I immediately asked our Meredith, and Meredith got in touch with both of you all, to get you guys on the show. I really wanted to talk to you. What has Parth? What has the response been so far from the trucking industry?
Well, so we've had a couple of responses. One of them has been to point out that the transfer hub model, even though it makes a lot of sense on paper, there are issues around, for example, congestion at these transfer hubs, and so there are a number of problems that have to be solved before you implement this practically, and we certainly agree with that. So I think the response has been to kind of reach out to us and for people to tell us about the details of the trucking business, which we've tried to get a handle on as much as possible, but it's a complicated and diverse. It's not all just one type of work. It's a complicated and diverse profession, and so I think the response has been to kind of reach out and educate us about it.
You know, I'm thinking of a recording that I made back in 1988, and I didn't write it, but it was called I Am the American Trucker, and it essentially enumerates a laundry list of jobs that a truck driver does besides driving. It's sort of like, what does the housewife do? I remember several years ago, if you added up everything that a housewife does, they would be making millions of dollars, you know, because of all of the different jobs that they are responsible for. But Anirudh, I guess, you know, given what Partha has just said, unexpected weather, congestion, all of these other things, disease, pandemics, all of these other factors play in. So expect the unexpected and you'll never be disappointed, right?
Yeah, I think, as Parth mentioned, there are a number of challenges. And one of the other things which we haven't touched on, which is in terms of the unexpected, is public perception, right? I mean, how comfortable are car drivers going to be on the highway when they see an 80,000-pound truck without a driver in it alongside them? How comfortable are they going to be when that truck has its first accident?
Yes, maybe there'll be a big boom in the mannequin business. I don't know. Anirudh Mohan, thank you so much for being with us. Godspeed on your trips there, your trip there in Poland. Parth Vaishnav, thank you very much for being with us. The report is at nature.com. Just type trucking in the search bar.